Meeting will follow the observance of the Lord's table. Regarding the cancellation, no Bible class, the following dates: next Sunday, the 9th, next Tuesday, the 11th, and next Wednesday, the 12th. And we will have class Tuesday, Wednesday this week, circumstances permitting. Never know. We'll go from 70 degrees to 30 degrees and a blizzard. Crazy. All right, let's be sure we're in fellowship, and we will deal with these two verses. Shouldn't take too long. I hope I don't disrupt anyone too much. But anyway, just giving you a heads up. Maybe you want to get out of here quicker. I don't know. All right, verse 11, motivation to love one another. We will... Beloved, again, a title for believers under the rubric of love. Obviously, it is John's affection for these people, his concern for them, and the information that has been presented to him. And he wrote this letter to help them in time to deal with what they were up against. And I believe that God has provided Maranatha Church with the timely information when we're ready for it that we need to deal with what we have to deal with. Of course, one of the things that's on my soul, weighs pretty heavy, is where we're at in human history. And to keep everyone alert to this and on track with it, because we are living in a special niche situation with regard to the nearness of the day of the Lord, rapture, day of the Lord, and all that. So that consumes a lot of my thinking. How to provide for you what you need in our final run. So just pray for me in that regard, and we can get through this. We got 1 month behind us. This year. It blew by. Beloved also is a title for believers as they are loved by God. God loves his children. He isn't pleased with all of them, but he loves them all. And this is evidenced by that he does everything for them that can come to them individually. So we are the objects of divine love from eternity past. And if God so loved us, and he did, this is a first class condition, of course. The particle if, there's an adverb, so, the adverbial huto, that should be in this way. So, if God so loved, aorist indicative of the basic verb agapao, to love, if God so loved us, the pronoun, ego, in the plural, also, conjunctive, also, we ought, be obligated, be bound, present active indicative, ophilo. We're obligated to love one another. Present infinitive agapao, and one another is the reciprocal pronoun, alelo. Okay. Now, the execution of that imperative, that directive, while it's not used in imperative here, it is elsewhere. To execute that, you've got to assimilate a lot of doctrine on with regard to your relationship with other believers, and a whole variety of circumstances that exist among us. There's the normal everyday routine, love of the brethren. There's specialized situations where you may have to do or say something that is unpleasant to them. But it includes all the different things potentially in human interaction among believers. But it all starts with a mental attitude. The mental attitude is, as God loved us, so we love them in their imperfections and their spiritual growth in all the different situations they're in. We may even have to separate from them as an act of love in order to wake them up. You say, that's no guarantee they're going to wake up. But based on their behavior, if that's the case, that's the case. That's the formula in Scripture. See, so loving one another isn't just embracing everything, obviously. It's knowing how to operate and what your attitude should be on a limited scale with people, because we can easily be irritated by someone or something, and we have to check our attitude, get back in fellowship, and deal with the person the right way. No one has seen God at any time. He throws this in again, right, for the second time in this. No one has seen God at any time. Perfect passive indicative. Theaomai, see, observe. No one is the pronoun. And we have an adverb, apote. It means ever, at any time. Now this obviously has to refer to people cannot see God because he's a spirit. That's the basic idea here. We cannot see him. So if we love one another, and this is a subjunctive with the particle if, indicating maybe we do and maybe we don't. If we love, present subjunctive, agapao, one another, same reciprocal pronoun, God abides in us. All right, God in us abides, present indicative, meno. And his love, agape, his love, with a definite article, is perfected, made perfect, present participle, nominative, feminine, singular, talia'o, make perfect, is made perfect, present indicative of I-me. All right, what's he talking about here? Well, it should be obvious that verse 11 is easy. Verse 11 is, it naturally follows, if God loves us, we ought to love one another. Now, he's writing to these community of believers who have churches, no doubt. They are associated with one another, and they are expected to love one another. Attitude towards those that are on the outside, or attitude towards those who have bailed, that doesn't mean we have to hate them. We can dislike what they're doing very much, but we're dealing with the basic royal family in connection with one another, all of us coming here from a variety of backgrounds and circumstances. The second verse, 12, okay, if we love one another, God abides in us. Now, how am I supposed to take that? All believers are indwelt by the Holy Spirit, obviously. Those that aren't applying and are not applying the law of love in their relationship with other believers, which a lot of that goes on. A lot of misbehavior and attitudes that are not appropriate towards other members of the royal family. So how do I take that? If God has done the above and beyond for us and demonstrated his love for us when we were in the greatest peril and we were not types that you would like based on God's essence, sinners, living under our STAs and in a state of unbelief, if he did this for us when we were his enemies, the least we can do is manifest this same love toward each other. Verse 11. That's what we're expected to do. Now you probably need to pray about this so you can, as you relate to other believers, some on just a very limited basis, some on a more involved, extended basis, that you look at them like members of the royal family those in particular who are making an effort to come to Bible class, hanging in there around. They may not have the perfect agendas lined out and everything, but they're here, and we're for them. We're wanting them to do the right thing and grow in grace and whatever it takes. And we're not going to, quote, shun them because they're not everything we want them to be. That isn't appropriate. Your relationship, it always should be those bearing the fruit of the Holy Spirit towards one another. Kind. Patient. Forbearing. Knowing how to just let something go. Not taking it and carrying it down the road. This person was rude to me. Okay. They shouldn't have been. But they're still a member of the royal family, and you sin every day, and you expect instant forgiveness, and you get it. So you need to realize that, no, everybody isn't going to treat you perfectly all the time. Offenses will come. Now, you can go isolate yourself from everything. Then you're completely out of the will of God. You hang in there with people. This is our obligation towards other believers. Well, this, of course, is divine love. And while human love can be very wonderful and nice, this is supernatural. This is love for other believers. Maybe you had a run-in with them back in the day. Maybe they didn't do something right. Let you down, name it. This is another day. You relate to them accordingly. They are believers who, okay, you didn't get treated like you wanted to be treated. You still grace them out. You can't be judging other people without the facts. They're doing wrong. They're doing wrong. That's where you get this going through all these scriptures. John restates the fact that God, who is love, cannot be seen. This is in John 1:18. It's elsewhere, but anyway. No one has seen God at any time. The only begotten, uniquely begotten God who is in the bosom of the Father, he has explained him. Well, it takes a while to explain that verse. But anyway, it's just that was just cited for that reason. And First Timothy who alone possesses immortality and dwells in unapproachable light. That's obviously referring to the third heaven, whom no man has seen or can see. Obviously, he's referring to earth dwellers. People in heaven see this. He's referring to people in on the earth. That was why pagans all had to have something to see. They had to have an idol. They had to have some what they thought was a representation of their deities. They had something they needed to see. We do not see God. He is invisible to the natural eye. We know him and we observe him through faith. That's what we know. So God can't be seen. And that leads into this: fellow believers are visible. We see them. We observe them. We're around them. They are visible. So how can we love the one who is invisible if we do not love those we can see? Love for God is obviously mandated. And love for fellow believers is the natural result of responding to God's love. Again, the least you can do is treat other believers like God would treat them. Now, you can't put divine discipline on them unless it's a kid or a church dealing with a believer that needs dealt with. But other than that, we can't do anything. We love God to the extent that we love one another. The two go hand in hand. The golden rule is you're to love the Lord your God with all your heart and all your mind and all your soul. And the second great commandment, which sums up the entire law and all the behavior and relationship to fellow under the law of fellow Israelites, is you love your neighbor like you love yourself. You treat your neighbor accordingly. It's called the golden rule. So you don't neglect yourself, but you are there for other believers through prayer, moral support, during a time of testing and adversity, time of need for living grace. John already has told us in this book, how can the love of God abide in you if you see your brother in financial or need, needing basics, and you don't step up? How can that, at that time, you're out of fellowship and you're not applying doctrine. You just blow it off and give them some platitude about faith resting their situation. But you don't step up and come to their aid. I think we've done a pretty good job here at Maranatha Church over the years of helping out believers in need. Some have taken advantage of us, but we did it in good faith, and we came to the aid of people who were in need, and we're doing it up to this day. Maybe you're the object of that application of love. They went out of their way, or they're going out of their way to help you. I hope you get that. And I've been the object of it over all these years. Your application towards your pastor teacher. And I appreciate it. It's love returned. I've hung in there for you under a variety of circumstances. So we began our path to divine love and divine righteousness when we first believed in Christ for salvation, a subject that is in 1 John. That's our first act of genuine divine love for God, who we cannot see. We loved, we responded to the message, and we said yes and believed. That's love. When you believe the truth, that's an act of love towards God. I hear it. I understand it. That's clear. That's the directive will. That's the doctrine. That's what I'm supposed to believe. Because, see, I do not want you as a believer to get trapped in the hate mode with regard to another believer. I don't want you to get into that. That is not healthy. I look at believers, I don't know everything about, I don't want to either. But they show up in Bible class. They're here, I see their applications. Are they growing? Yes, and they've got some warts and there's some things they need to deal with, but still, they're believers. I do not neglect new believers. Sometimes I go out of my way when we have a visitor. Maybe I've been criticized for that. I'm to do the work of an evangelist. And that's to give them gospel, one, because I realize that the average person, a lot of times stepping in here, even if they're a believer, they're all messed up in their head about stuff. Secondly, I'm trying to appeal to them of the importance of doctrine, gospel too. So I go out of my way. I use this forum to explain something I've explained to you thousands of times. The three adjustments to God. That's a revelation. That is a revelation to anyone who has come out of the typical fundamentalist background, because it presents it succinctly. It lays it all out. Salvation adjustment, rebound adjustment, and the maturity adjustment. That's foundational. And that kind of language and that kind of communication commended itself to me. So I'm, just fishing to see if someone might snap and get a hold of it. Most don't. But I don't give up based on that. Oh, I'm tired of people. I'm tired of all this. No, it's not right. So I keep revisiting some of these things because I have believers that need to hear it. I have believers that are at odds with it or on top of it. I mean, the Bible's repetitious. Same doctrine, same truth over here, 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 here. Formulated in another book, in another way. Not only did we demonstrate love for God, but we demonstrated love for all that were his children. Not maybe we didn't think about it, but we were in agreement with everybody who ever lived and are alive who have believed in Jesus Christ. And so, not only did we love God, we embraced the community of those who did likewise. Without knowing them, obviously we don't have to know everybody. We just agreed with the family of God. And we have affinity for them at that level. Now, the challenging part is to apply doctrine day in and day out towards members of the royal family in the local church. Yes, there are those on the outside. And we can talk about love for enemies. We can talk about how you deal with people who have walked away and badmouthed us as they went out the door, so to speak, and are doing it to this day. There's fake love like there's fake everything. Oh, we still love you, Jack. Really? I do not understand that kind of love. If I left you and I said, well, I still love you all, and left you hanging, I wouldn't love you. That's not love. To abandon your flock is not love. And for individuals of the flock to abandon and say, oh, I love you, that's just an emotional talk. It's cover for the fact that if you did, you'd be here and you'd be supporting spiritually and otherwise this local church. But you bailed. And if you come back, we're happy for that. We're delighted. But short of that, it's you're out there. That's what you decided to do. What we have for them is lupe, disgust for behavior and attitudes, because it violates Scripture. God doesn't like it. Why should I like it? I don't. If we love one another is a third-class condition. Maybe we will, maybe we won't. Now, relating this to us on a daily basis here at Maranatha, the challenge is to get in fellowship, get away from your mental attitude problem, and apply doctrine. Sometimes it's under duress. Sometimes it's easy. Sometimes the person irritates me because they're acting the way they are. But I'm not supposed to throw myself out of fellowship because they did. It often happens, but I shouldn't do it. You have a little deal with your spouse. They say something tacky. Take an opportunity to, throw something at you for what you did yesterday or some other thing. Your responsibility is to apply, or you just are tired and you don't want, no, I'm going to step up because this is an application I need to make towards this person. Whether they appreciate it or not. If they appreciate it, then they're in fellowship and realize that a good deed was done and they can appreciate it. Furthermore, if we stay positive, see there's a key here, we stay positive and keep his commandments, his love is perfected in us. And one of the ways the world observes is how we treat one another. They do notice these things. Jesus said this. They will know that you are my disciples if you love, translated, treat properly, one another. The camaraderie, the closeness, they would see this. They witness at a distance this affection that believers have for one another. So we have to stay positive for his love to be perfected in us, and this is also in 1 John, we have to keep his commandments. Figure out what they are and do them. I list them for you. There's lots of them. What are you supposed to do under this circumstance? Oh, I got to get up and go to Bible class. Not sleep in, temptation. Or you drank too much Saturday night and you don't feel good. Well, get over it. I mean, get yourself so that you can be here and be fairly alert. I have people who come here and I'm impressed. I know that they have physical issues going on. And they make it. They make it. It's keeping a commandment. Now, obviously, that commandment, if you're here, that doesn't help if you're here out of fellowship and have an attitude, or I didn't like the way Jack said that, or whatever it is. You got to overcome all of that. Believers have lived in all kinds of circumstances and have been able to keep themselves in fellowship under duress. That action is not the filling of the Spirit action. We can pretty well determine that when it is and when it isn't. Hence the command, as Paul would put, walk in love. This isn't some modeling. This is another believer. I see other believers. I see how they'll kind of go out of their way and say, hi, how are you? Sometimes I do that. Sometimes I get a response and sometimes I don't. Because if they're estranged, they're not going to want to say, oh, I'm fine. They might. It's just a cover. They're not fine. But my relationship to them is genuine. It's not fake. God doesn't like fake. All right, let's get where we need to be to observe the Lord's table. It's a commandment.